A reading from Genesis. The same night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join now together in singing Psalm 121, which is on page 19, the back of your bulletin for this morning. From 2 Timothy. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through the faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be perfect, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itchy ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers their own desires. Will turn away from listening to the truth, wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry. Word of God, the word of life.
Thanks be to God. Gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart. Jesus said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. Also in that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused. But later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God or respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The Gospel of the Lord. You, O Christ. In the name of the one eternal God, the compassionate, the merciful. Amen. Have you ever memorized verses of Scripture? It's a good practice that has sadly fallen out of practice in some quarters. After all, there are many wonderful verses of Scripture that we have been taught to treasure and even to memorize, so that they become part of our very soul, part of our Christian heritage. Perhaps no verse is better known or more beloved than the conclusion of our Lord's Prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane on the very night before the agony of his crucifixion for us. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Even our Savior is bending his earnest desire to the Father's will. How many times have you said that by heart? Not my will, but yours be done. Well, keep that sacred text in mind as we consider some other passages of Scripture. We'll come back to it without fail. Today's gospel paints a vivid picture. There is a poor widow who desperately needs to have her legal requests granted. Maybe she and her children are about to be thrown out of their dwelling. Maybe her small savings have been stolen. Whatever her need, it's urgent and vital. But the judge, considering her plea, is corrupt. He neither fears God nor respects people. He is totally self-centered. serving without any conscience, even though the scripture many times commands all to care for widows, as well as orphans and foreigners. Foreigners, immigrants, you know. And judges are specifically charged by God to judge rightly and not be partial, listening to the small and to the great alike. But this judge is really corrupt and despicable. What to do? Well, she doesn't sit home. Undeterred, this remarkable woman goes on the offensive. She sends him pleading emails every hour. Phone messages are constantly left on his answering machine, and text messages every minute. Registered letters that require signature arrive every day at his office. Placards are posted and pasted on his front door. Daily she pickets his court, nagging, badgering, on and on and on. She is relentless, determined, tenacious, until finally this dishonest judge cries out, "All right already. I will grant her petition so that she will not wear me out." Actually, the Greek says, "so she will not slap me in the face." And our Lord says, listen to this. Pay attention. The widow finally got justice because she persisted. Jesus' teaching in this parable is this. Will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? I tell you, he will. He will quickly grant justice to them. Our Lord is clearly urging, even commanding, persistence in prayer. And do not lose heart, as our good deacon has reminded us. Let's look now at our first lesson from Genesis. It's all about Jacob, the turning point of his life. Now, up to this point, Jacob has not been very admirable. In fact, he has been deplorable. He took advantage of his starving brother to cheat him out of his birthright. He even deceived his old blind father, Isaac, taking the greater blessing of the elder son for himself and leaving Esau out. And then, very cowardly-like, he fled from Esau's just anger. But now, he is returning to Canaan after 20 years' absence. And he hears that Esau, who had earlier sworn vengeance on Jacob, is approaching with 400 armed men. And Jacob is rightly, greatly afraid. Sneaky coward that he is, Jacob adopts some deceptive tactics to avert what he fears is Esau's wrath. He sends waves of servants, 10 and 12 of them, bearing rich gifts for the Lord Esau, one after the other. And then he puts all the women and children, and by this time that's quite a crowd, all the women and children out in front. Brave man. Ultimately, Jacob is finally alone at the ford of the Jabbok River. But then, that night, an eerie, mysterious figure appears and wrestles with Jacob all night. And somehow Jacob perseveres, persists in this struggle, and wins a new name, Israel, which means one who strives with God. More important, this powerful, mysterious presence blesses Jacob, now Israel, who suddenly realizes that this is God who is blessing him. Thereafter, Jacob was a changed man, gone is a deceitful swindler. Now he becomes the patriarch we revere, father of the 12 tribes of Israel, all because he persisted in his struggle with God. We can struggle, we must struggle with God and persist in it. One more passage of scripture. After he had taught his disciples how to pray, what we call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus told this parable. Imagine that suddenly at midnight, some very important guests arrive unexpectedly at your home. They have had an arduous, exhausting journey that skipped all meals, and now they are very, very hungry. As bad luck would have it, you have very little to eat in your house. But you know that your neighbor, right next door, has recently laid in ample supplies of all kinds of good food. So off you go and bang on his door in the middle of the night and beg to borrow lots of food for your hungry, important guests. Not surprisingly, your neighbor is understandably not feeling very charitable about being awakened in the wee hours of the night and says, "Go away, we're all in bed, leave us alone." In most Palestinian homes then, such a demand was a real problem. There were no bedrooms, there was just the one room. At night, space was cleared for a bed right in front of the one door, and the entire family, parents and children, got in the one bed. To open the barred door meant turning everyone out of dismantling the bed. It was really asking a lot. But if you keep on hammering, banging, shouting, your neighbor will finally get up and give you the food you want, if only to stop that infernal racket. "I tell you," says Jesus, "even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs." Persistence. Let's go back to that beloved sacred text. "Not my will, but thine be done." That's absolutely right. Of course, God's will must and will prevail. Don't worry about that. God is in charge. But we can too soon pray, "Not my will, but yours be done," as though we really didn't care very much about that prayer anyway. We are commanded in numerous places in Scripture to persevere in prayer, to be persistent in beseeching the gracious Lord of all to grant an important request, like the needy widow who deserved justice, like the man who needed food for his unimportant, unexpected guests. The Apostle Paul urges all and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, "Let your requests be made known to God." And he even says, "Pray without ceasing." One place to be persistent is in our celebration of Holy Communion, when we pray every Sunday, "Come, Lord Jesus." Keep praying it. Keep praying it in your heart and mean it. And remember also that our God is also persistent in loving us. He never stops loving us, no matter what we do. God's love is a love that will not let us go. And if God can be persistent, so should we. So whatever you need for yourself or for a needy person, or for a world full of suffering and injustice, we are urged to start and continue prayer for that. Be sincere. Be earnest. Be humble. Be hopeful. Be trusting. Be loving. Be grateful. But above all, be persistent. That's what our Lord has told us, urged us, commanded us to do. So let's do it. And do not lose heart. Consider the practice of Mother Teresa. When her organization needed money for the charitable work in India, she went right to the very top person in a corporation, outlined the urgent need of her Sisters of Mercy in Calcutta's slums, the worst in the world, and then asked for money, a lot of money. When the chief executive courteously replied that his organization could not really afford such a significant gift, Mother Teresa said, "Well, let us pray about this." And after a long prayer, right there in his office, for the gift of loving charity, she again asked for the money. The executive explained a little less politely that his company was just not in a position to give such an amount at this time, perhaps later. Again, Mother Teresa said, "Let us pray," and offered a long, fervent prayer to open hearts and wallets to this great need in the slums of Calcutta. Finally, after several more times around this track, the weary and outflanked executive got out the corporation's checkbook and donated the money. Perhaps it was just to get rid of her. Or perhaps, with all that prayer, God had convinced him of the desperate need for this money. But I can hear Jesus saying, "Well done. See, God will grant justice to his chosen ones if they cry to him day and night, if they persevere in prayer. And he will say that to you if you are persistent and do not lose heart." O Lord, support us all the day long, until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes and the busy world is hushed and the fever of life is over and our work is done. Then in your mercy, grant us a safe lodging and a holy rest and peace at the last, through Jesus Christ our Lord.